future lay out there in the bullpen?
This is the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Who let those guys up here?
Well, well, well. How the turntables.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who would it now?
With the fourth pick in the 2023 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Amen Thompson from Oakland, California. An overtime elite. With the 20th pick in the 2023 NBA draft, the Houston Rockets select Cam Whitmore from Villanova University.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 is the bullpen here with the producers of ESPN Radio. Myself, Brian McDonald, at Sacked by BMAC on Twitter, Sean Mapes, at Sean M. Mapes, RJ Saunders from the bench, at R Has No J, and our man behind Josh behind the glass, at IMJ Chevy. And gentlemen, wow, it's obviously been a few days since the NBA draft, but it feels kind of like, I feel like I did back in April, where I was on a 3-4 day high from what the Texans did, obviously drafting CJ Stroud and making the big trade up to get Will Anderson at number 3. The Rockets kind of did what we expected them to do at 4. They took who was left. It's kind of gone that way for the Rockets the last couple seasons. They just kind of take the guy who's left, whoever happens to fall to them. But then really falling to them, someone apparently, I think a lot of people might have been okay with taking all the way at 4. All of a sudden, Cam Whitmore from Villanova falls to them all the way at 20. So a lot of excitement in the city. Sean, your overall impressions of what happened on Thursday night with the NBA draft?
Yeah, it was a good draft. Anytime you can get that kind of talent with at first Amen Thompson, bringing him in the building, that kind of athlete, he's going to be like a top 20, top 10 athlete in the NBA, walking in. And so,
day one.
Yeah, and as a 20-year-old, like, he'll obviously have to work through some kinks before he's like a point guard that, you know, is distributing, doing everything you want, making jump shots. That'll take us a second. But I just think as far as teaming him up with Jalen Green, that is something that teams are going to have to plan for. That is something that will be on the scouting report.
I can't remember when they've had athleticism like that at the 1 and 2.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Harden was great, but he wasn't as athletic as these guys.
Francis Coutinho?
I mean, maybe.
But Coutinho wasn't
that level athlete. No. Like, Francis was, but Coutinho wasn't.
Aaron Brooks and Vaughn Wafer, I don't know.
Yes. But, there we go. Jeremy Lin and James Harden.
Nailed it.
And then jump into the Cam Whitmore pick. That to me is something where you can't like go in with a plan to get Cam Whitmore. You can't go in there thinking like, oh, then we'll because the difference between what they did and what the Texans did is that they didn't trade up.
Today. Right. This would be like Will Anderson falling to them at 12.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
He apparently had a bad workout or something.
Yeah. And that's the thing with Cam Whitmore. All the rumored bad interviews and workouts and stuff that Woj said on the draft during the draft broadcast is that when you're the Rockets and you have A, your second pick in this draft, B, what, like 7 first-round picks already on the roster, yeah. You can afford to take a risk on a guy who might not have a great medical. And I've heard, or what I've like seen reported, is that it's not like all teams had them all red flagged.
No.
Those different teams had different kind of...
Clearly, because we heard rumors of teams like the Pacers and a few others trying to also make the trade up for Cam Whitmore. So clearly he passed, you know, at least several teams' medicals. And RJ, I mean, I look at this pick. I mean, Sean mentioned like, oh, they've already had a bunch of first round picks, and it was in the 20. Like NFL draft 20 overall is a really high draft pick.
Yes.
NBA, once you get past the top 10,
once you get past the lottery,
some years you get past 5.
Yeah.
And there's a drastic drop off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Even if Cam Whitmore missed RJ, I mean, it's 20th overall pick. Why not take the shot?
No harm, no foul. And this was also a guy that you had on your draft board at potentially selecting him at 4. You know, there was that argument between Amen and Cam, which one do you select at 4? And it seemed like Cam was getting a lot of traction there with the 4 pick. But like you said, I mean, the Pacers wanted to trade into the top 10. The Rockets were trying to trade into the top 10 to get Cam Whitmore. Then you get to pick 16, 17, and 18. And the Rockets are trying to get on the phone because they feel that maybe a team is going to swipe them. The Lakers have come out, or there's been reports that the Lakers were going to consider drafting him at 17 and didn't. But it seems like this is a guy who, if he is healthy, can be a very serviceable and volume shooter for this Houston Rockets team. Because if you're saying you have your starters and you're going to bring in some quality level starters via free agency, then yes, you are going to have to work on the bench. And guys 6, 7, 8, 9 are going to have to be very, very good for you in years to come with a young roster like you have. So if Cam Whitmore, you know, the 20th overall pick hits for the Houston Rockets, I mean, that is scary to think about, and it should definitely make Houston Rockets fans excited.
So according to NBA.com and their draft profile, they had Cam Whitmore graded as a mid-lottery pick, so I'm guessing that means maybe 8, 9, 10, and compared him to guys like Miles Bridges, Keldon Johnson, and Jay Crowder. So, I mean, I don't know what your belief, Sean, is in Cam Whitmore's upside, but if he hits, obviously, the on the court for Miles Bridges, and then Jay Crowder, those obviously very good players. If he hits that sort of upside, are you satisfied with the pick considering it came at 20, or do you think he could do even more?
I think Miles Bridges is actually probably like the highest like that you can reasonably expect from Cam Whitmore. Obviously, it's like, I don't know, he could be LeBron. He's probably not going to be LeBron. That's probably like the one in a billion shot. But I think as if you just like, yeah, he's going to be about as good on, like you said, on the court as Miles Bridges, that's about appropriate, especially when you look at the 20 pick, and this is something that Salman Ali tweeted out on draft night. The 20th pick the last 10 years, it's Malachi Branham, it's Jalen Johnson, Precious Achiuwa, Matisse Thybulle, Josh Okogie, Harry Giles. So it's guys that are all just all right role players.
Yes,
pretty flawed, but are all right. You're taking a bigger swing on someone who can be a quality starter level as opposed to, you know, Bruno Caboclo.
So,
what a name, wow, what Sean. A name,
yeah.
You throw these that names was, out that I God, think about. Man.
2014.
That is Caboclo. A deep cut. So why
2 years
Cam,
away from being two years away.
So why did Cam Whitmore fall? According to Jonathan Giovanni, the ESPN draft expert, Whitmore may have had a problem with his workouts.
So it wasn't just that. I think people were looking at the season that he had also. He underachieved in a lot of ways. I live in New York City. I went to a lot of Big East games. I saw Cam Whitmore quite a bit. I never came away from a game saying, wow, Cam Whitmore had an incredible impact on that game. You know, there are a lot of times actually when they were better when he was on the bench. And then you look at some of the workouts that he had. People came in and said, does Cam Whitmore even want to be here? The energy was low in the workout. The interview was not great. And so I think you look at all those things together and it starts to snowball and people look at it and they say, we've never had Cam Whitmore in our gym. Once you get outside of the top 9 or 10, you could really start to fall. And a team like Houston, they were opportunistic. I think it's a great pick for them at 20.
I love how he just goes through, oh, yeah, he never took over game. He did terrible interviews, terrible workouts. Oh, it's a good pick for the Rockets.
It's a good pick for the Rockets.
I mean, that is ESPN's draft coverage is in a nutshell.
They're amazing.
They'll
draft coverage.
They'll put some
it's
bad
like the,
stuff.
It's like the
bad
compliment
stuff.
Sandwich where you give a compliment, but then like, you criticize, and then you compliment again.
Or it's just like they can just criticize, and then like a couple good things. But honestly, they don't really do that much criticism. And then every pick is like, you know what, I like this pick.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, pretty much.
There wasn't a single pick that J.J. Redick and Jay Billis were like, ugh.
One point that Giovanni made that I think makes sense, and I heard Jake Asman say this on the Wheelhouse on Friday, credit to him, is kind of the idea of once he gets past, you know, maybe 8, like why he would fall all the way to the 20. I think in what we've talked about, like the Rockets might have taken him before. He was in consideration in the top 10. Yeah. So these teams picking 15, 16, 17 probably didn't have Cam Whitmore in visits because they weren't expecting him to be there. So he lands to them. They've never talked to him. Maybe they're hearing something about workouts or just going to stay away.
Yeah, and the fact that he is dropping will spook them a little bit, especially when they don't know as much as the teams that had him in and apparently don't like him enough to draft him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ideally, it sounds like we're – I don't know where you guys are. If he hits the Miles Bridges, Jake Crowder.
Even Keldon Johnson.
Even Keldon Johnson. If he hits that upside, he's a starter. But and ideally is – is the front court for the Rockets' future Whitmore, Jabari, and Sengun? Is that what you hope either, kind of shapes out?
Either Whitmore or Eason. That could just be a defense offense kind of thing. But Whitmore definitely has the upside. Like when you look at the guys that the Rockets have, they have just a bunch of guys with upside. And so it'll be a little bit of just survival of the fittest, so to speak, of like, you know, some of these guys that you really love, the playing time is now going to be crunched because not just of the adding another two first round picks, but then also their plans in free agency that some of these young guys aren't going to be able to, like it was under the Steven Silas days, like play play for 33 minutes a night and kind of do whatever
do
they
whatever
want.
You want.
Yeah, it's going to be who fits Ime Udoka's system and his vision for how the team's going to play.
Yeah. RJ, on that, I mean, I think obviously you heard in the clip from Jonathan Giovanni of ESPN that there were concerns about, like, does he want to be here at this workout?
Yeah.
There was even a rumor that he might have, like, taken part of the workout off to go vape. I've heard that being talked about. But if you have these concerns about Whitmore that maybe he, quote, doesn't want it enough, isn't Udoka like the – if he has the ability to flip the switch and want it more, so to speak, I mean, Udoka's the perfect coach to get that out of him, is he not?
Yeah, because I think Udoka's going to be a guy that's going to say either, listen, you have to play the way that I'm trying to build this team, and it's going to be, you know, you're gonna have to want it each and every possession, each and every second, or – we can move you to the G League. And I don't think that Cam Whitmore wants to, you know, play in the G League or be a G League type player or be a guy that's going to be, you know, close to the end of the bench. I think this is a guy that he understands, you know, what's against him. And he said it kind of in his press conference after he got drafted, where he said, listen, me dropping down all the way to 20 motivates me 150%. Udoka's going to want to see that.
Like 150%.
This, this big time. Yeah, this is going to be a guy that is not – you cannot say something like that in a press conference and then say, you know, hey, I'm just going to lollygag my way through it. I mean, there has to be some belief in the Houston Rockets where they're saying, listen, we believe this guy can be a vital piece to our rebuilding situation. And when we start winning games, he can also be a viable option for us down the line. I'm rooting for Cam Whitmore. This has to work. He's going to have to want it. And I think Udoka's going to be the guy that's going to be able to get the best out of him.
All right, we got a lot more on the Rockets coming up. We got to get more into Amen Thompson. We got to get more, really haven't gotten into all yet, about the upcoming free agency. Plus, Joel Blank from the Killer Bees will join us at 11:15, so we'll have even more Rockets then. If you have any comments or thoughts on what we talked about with the Rockets are coming up, we'll talk Astros, Texans. You might even have a groundbreaking Mount Rushmore plus one if you want to weigh in on that as well. The phone number, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's the ESPN Radio Bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Is it football season yet?
Every time I call a game, you call it a business. And every time I call a business, you call it a game. I want some team spirit.
This is the Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah, it just feels, you know, great to be a Houston Rocket. You know, I thought I had a great interview, great workout with them, and I was just, you know, I thought I saw a family over there. I saw a future in Houston, so it's great to be there.
That the voice of new Houston Rocket, Amen Thompson. Excited to be a member of the Houston Rockets. It's the ESPN Radio Bullpen with the producers here at ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, and our man Josh behind the glass. Before we get into Amen Thompson, I'm looking across the table from me. And now I've seen RJ wear this James Harden Brooklyn jersey. But now Sean, I don't... Oh, it's the same James Harden. Come on, Josh, help me out here. Was there a group text going on that said we are all wearing Brooklyn James Harden jerseys today? What's going on here?
No, I missed that text.
You missed it too? I didn't even know you had a Brooklyn James Harden jersey. Sean, did you go out and buy it yesterday so you can match?
No, I got it. I forgot when I got it, but it was like $5 on the NBA store after he demanded a trade or like the offseason after.
So it was going for the same price that this Brock Osweiler jerseys went for in the Texas store after he got traded to Cleveland. What?
For $5.
You'll support James Harden for $5.
If not me, then who?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. All right. How do I transition off of that? Amen Thompson. Yeah, so Amen Thompson, the fourth overall pick selected by the Houston Rockets. And his NBA.com draft profile says Thompson holds similarities to wing-sized Ja Morant or a more athletic Ben Simmons. And I have no idea what to do with that comparison because there's obviously a lot going on there with Ja Morant and Ben Simmons, obviously talking about on the court. I'm not expecting Amen Thompson to hold up guns on Instagram Live. But, RJ, your thoughts on those comparisons. I mean, one of the things I've heard about Amen as far as his weaknesses is he doesn't have a great jump shot yet. Certainly we've seen that be the case with Ben Simmons throughout his entire career. Hopefully Amen at least doesn't post fake bulk gains on his Twitter feed like Ben Simmons did. But what is your thought on the comparison for Amen Thompson to John Morant and Ben Simmons?
Athlete. I think when you talk about Amen Thompson and just who he is as a prospect and as a raw talent, everybody continues to say that this guy is just – he's a pure athlete and one of the most athletic guys that they've seen coming in to the NBA draft and now getting drafted by the Houston Rockets. Here's a funny one that I heard, and normally I make posts on the bench, but I didn't want to make this post until I saw it on somewhere else and on Bleacher Report. An exec told David Aldridge, shout out to David Aldridge, who used to be on the NBA on TNT, but an exec said, it sounds crazy, but Amen's got a little LeBron in him back in the day. He's got a big-time body. He's not quite as big. But remember LeBron in high school? He couldn't shoot. He was very athletic. He was very much a facilitator, too. Both of them have a chance to be really good.
Is that a compliment, talking about he can't shoot?
I think what they're trying to go off of is they're trying to look at some of the more athletic guys that have come into the NBA draft as prospects and saying, hey, listen, if you can kind of what we talked about in the first segment, if you can kind of harness this guy's talent and if you can develop him into a solid NBA player with his athletic abilities tied into that, he could become this. Now, LeBron James is wow. I mean, you know, if he were to
turn. He's not going to be as good as LeBron James.
No.
Yeah,
no,
I feel safe making that declaration.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know. Also, there was an individual that said, well, Sam Vecenie said that, you know, Cam Whitmore, there's comparisons there to Anthony Edwards. So we have Anthony Edwards and LeBron James.
That kind of goes back to what Sean was talking about before. Every draft pick is just amazing.
Right. So
we're going to have 30 All-Stars come out of the first round.
Yeah. So Amen's going to be a guy that I feel, and I agree with this. I think Sam Vecenie said this as well, that Amen is probably the greatest raw talent in terms of prospect in this draft, not named Victor. Because if you can harness that skill with what he already has individually as a talent, he could be a top 20 player in today's NBA when everything comes together.
Sean, that's obviously very high praise. What is your expectation for Amen Thompson?
Expectation as far as
I don't think we can have a lot of expectation this year.
I was gonna say rookie year, like he's getting compared to tall. Ja Morant to LeBron James. As a rookie, he's going to be bad. That's just how every rookie point guard is, like, by advanced metrics, like the worst player in basketball, basically. Right. And then their second year, they elevate to wherever, you know, if they work out, they're going to be pretty good. Darius Garland is to me the biggest example of, like, oh my God, he can't play basketball his first year. And then his second year.
Right.
And then his third year, he makes all-star team.
Right.
So something like that with Amen. Maybe even more pronounced because of his issues shooting. That's the thing, like, LeBron couldn't shoot coming out of high school. He also came out of high school.
Lonzo Ball couldn't shoot.
Yeah, LeBron also came out of high school 20 years ago.
Right.
Different
game back then.
The demands of shooting really changed under his feet there. So I think – as far as the long-term fit with Amen Thompson, I think he does fit this what this Rockets team is going to be building. You can see him and Jalen Green, first off, running the break and being absolutely unstoppable in, like, the fast break setting. And then in the half court, him and Sengun playing a little two-man game can also work when you throw in how great of an athlete he is, that it's going to be something coming off handoffs or even running, you know, like cuts towards the basket off the ball with Sengun either at the top of the key or in the high post. It's going to be fun to watch.
Now, I want to ask this to both of you guys because I think it actually could be an honest question at this point. I understand that you drafted Amen at four.
I feel a hot take coming on.
It's not a hot take. But
okay.
You draft Amen at four, but when it comes to free agency, it seems like you may throw a very healthy bag at Fred VanVleet, who is a point guard.
Point guard, yeah.
Could we see Amen come off the bench his first year? Or
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I actually think that might be good for him.
Yeah, okay. Because like the last 2 years, all the rookies got to play basically as much as they wanted.
Yeah.
And because they're just trying to lose games.
Steven Silas had no system.
The days of just like, well, you're drafted high, you're going to be playing 30 minutes a night for us, that those days are over.
Okay.
Those days are over for him. They're probably over to some degree for Tari Eason and for
I mean, if the Rockets go out and do what we expect them to do in free agency and sign a couple of pretty good big name veterans to decent sized contracts, they're going to be trying to win this year. They're going to be trying to get into at least the play in game portion of the standings. Yep. So, yeah, guys like Amen Thompson, I think he's going to be playing, obviously. It's not it's not like he's going to get 10 minutes a night.
No.
But I think he's getting maybe 20 minutes a night instead of 35 like the rookies were getting under Steven Silas.
Okay.
And with someone, let's just say Fred VanVleet, because he's probably the most likely, or at least he's the top of the point guard that are point guard list that's reasonable and realistic.
Yeah,
he's just the right amount of good to where he can start for you for a year or two.
Yeah,
and then when Amen Thompson develops, then you can just put Fred on the bench.
So he'll be like a holdover, until you have Amen where he needs to be.
Because they're trying to legitimize the talent or that's on the team by putting NBA players around them, like good present day NBA players around them. So you can thread the needle, so to speak, of waiting for Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore to actually become good basketball players. Right. And even like Tari Eason, if they get a win, if they sign like one of these wings that are out there, if they sign like a Bruce Brown, Dylan Brooks, Harrison Barnes or something, Tari Eason's going to play less, and that's fine.
I think it's better for his development. It puts less pressure on him.
Exactly.
So we got 1 minute left here before we're going to go to break, and we'll continue the Rockets conversation in the next segment. Also, don't forget we have Joel Blank coming on at 11:15 to continue the Rockets conversation. But one question for you guys before we go to break. Put yourself kind of in the shoes of where we were as Rockets fans 3 years ago, knowing the Rockets were about to go into a period of tanking. If I told you 3 years ago that would end up with Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and Amen Thompson, are you happy with how this went?
I would be like, who are these people? I've never heard of these guys.
You mean that 15-year-old Amen?
I've only heard of Jalen Green, I think. I think that
was tanking worth it for this draft haul?
Oh yeah. I mean, compared to like, what were they going to do? Build around Victor Oladipo and John Wall,
okay,
Christian Wood,
fair. Like what? DeMarcus Cousins.
The road not traveled is so much worse than this road. I mean, look at the Washington Wizards as far as resisting tanking, and then you trade your guys too late.
They got all second round picks.
It's exactly. Jordan Poole, and then the Victor Wembanyama's teammate from France.
Yeah, Victor's friend, French friend.
What is this, a Sean McVay situation? Then what, he's going to get all
Tyus Jones.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of backup point guards.
And a whole bunch of backup.
Tyus Jones, Monte Morris.
Yeah.
Daylon Wright. So, yeah, I think tearing it down, getting this haul, and really just prioritizing, just throwing, like, getting as many shots at it in the draft as possible. I think it worked out. Maybe they could have had a little bit better lottery luck, obviously.
Certainly, yeah.
But, I mean, you're literally just asking for better luck at that point.
Yeah, not really a lot to nitpick there. So we got one more segment of Rockets conversation before we get to Joel Blank at 11:15. He will join us. Make sure you don't miss that. Coming up next, we're going to get a little more into we're going to get into the conversation about what the Rockets should do in free agency, who they should target, and a report from Woj that maybe it's a big man from Milwaukee headed to the Rockets. That's next in the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.com. Time to wake up.
Hey, you. You're finally awake. You were trying to cross the border, right?
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5 is The Bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, our man Josh behind the glass, and I cannot wait for our Mount Rushmore Plus One coming up at 11 o'clock. It's going to be very interesting. A few thoughts I might have to lay out on and let my co-host here take it. But that'll be fun. Also coming up 11:15, don't forget Joel Blank from the Killer Bees will join us at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. No one better at the station to talk Rockets with, so he will join us coming up at 11:15. But right now we're going to get a little bit more into the Rockets, carrying the Rockets conversation over from the last segment. And I think one of the things I've been interested in kind of post-draft for the Rockets, one of the questions I've had is just the direction of the team. I think a lot of people coming into the draft didn't know, hey, maybe do they take a couple of rookies? A lot of people thought they would trade both 4 and 20, maybe trade for a veteran and then add that to a veteran that you would add in free agency. And kind of the mix of youth versus veteran on this roster, with them sticking and picking at 4 and 20, I mean, what questions did they answer about their direction in free agency this season as far as kind of the rookie-veteran mix to you, Sean? Where do you think they're headed now going into free agency?
I think they're going to be a little bit more patient this year. I would say that this kind of makes it less likely that they get one of the, like, star guys, like the Kyrie, the James Hardens of the world, because you would want to use – and maybe this was just something that happened in the moment. I know for me it kind of happened, like, as I was thinking about it, happened in the moment watching the draft of as Cam Whitmore kept falling. You're like, I don't know, if he makes it to 20, you might – because I was always team trade the 20th pick to get someone. After Tyus Jones got traded from Memphis, I mean, throw the 20th pick and the lottery protector first at Washington to get Tyus Jones.
Right.
And boom, you have your point guard to kind of be the steady hand before handing off to Amen. Obviously, when Cam Whitmore starts falling, and the Rockets apparently loved Cam Whitmore as a conversation at 4, when he falls to 20, you just take the bet there. So I think they might have gotten, not pushed in, but the draft opened itself up to being a little bit more patient with this, having taking on a little bit more of the young guys, keeping them on, and frankly, probably also costs like either Jayshon Tate or
Garuba.
No, Kenyon Martin Jr. Probably cost him a roster spot on the Rockets.
Certainly playing time at least. Yeah. So one of the free agents that's been rumored to maybe possibly coming to the Houston Rockets has been Brook Lopez from the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's hear right now from Adrian Wojnarowski on that possible pairing this free agency period.
The Bucks are also facing Brook Lopez's free agency, and there's an expectation that the Houston Rockets, flushed with a lot of salary cap space, are going to be a real threat for Lopez. And this is a Bucks team that continues to be in a win-now mode around Giannis.
All right, so RJ, I mean, interesting name there with Brook Lopez, but when you look at the lineup, obviously, with Jumbari and Şengün, you also have to work, like, is Brook Lopez coming here expecting starters minutes? And if he does, you know, how does that work with also trying to find the time you need for Jabari and Şengün? So what is your interest level in the Rockets adding Brook Lopez?
I actually like it, and there's a couple reasons. Because first reason, besides being a veteran, he is a guy that is a stretch five. And I think that in today's NBA, that is more of that stretch five setting, or that you need a big man that's not just a guy that can rebound, block shots, and rim run. If he is a guy that can stretch the floor, he's a valuable asset to your team. I do like that for Brook Lopez. Also, I would like it because it seems like this is a guy Ime Udoka wants on his team. Ime, during his press conference, his introductory press conference, did say that he wanted to bring in different types of centers to come in and help with this Houston Rockets team. So I think he understands that, listen, I got a guy in Şengün that everybody thinks he's a lighter version of Nikola Jokic, which, again, wow. I mean, if he becomes, you know, a Nikola Jokic-esque player, I mean, you're talking for the next, you know, 12 to 15 years, you're going to have a guy that's going to be right in the thick of things for things like MVP or maybe lead Houston to a, you know, to an NBA championship. But I also think that this getting a guy like Brook Lopez also helps you defensively. I mean, remember, this is a guy that also he you know, he does average, you know, 1.5, maybe 2 blocks a game, you know, especially when he was in Brooklyn, he was definitely, you know, a high usage defensive player. And with Alperen Şengün having a lot of questions on the defensive end, you are going to need to bring in big men who have more expertise in that than Alperen has. So I think it could work.
Are you saying Şengün's not very good on the
defense? He's not very good defensively. So I think it could work.
I love the phrasing that have more expertise on the defensive side. It was a very nice way to put that he sucks at defense.
Alperen, I'm the best friend you could ever have. Yeah, I think it could work in several ways for the Houston Rockets. So getting Brook Lopez, now you're going to have to pay a pretty penny, but I mean, I think that it is now time that you start using a lot of your cap space and a lot of that money to bring in quality guys. Brook Lopez could definitely be that guy at the five spot.
Sean, your thoughts on Brook Lopez, and if not Lopez, what position would you most want a veteran at?
Starting with Lopez, I agree with RJ that he really is. I mean, I guess positionally, he's not the perfect fit, but for what he brings to the five position, the center position, like RJ said, like the defensive expertise that is obviously lacking everywhere on the roster, but
yeah,
especially
it's pretty much the
among the
roster.
Big men. And then also on offense, the shooting element that he brings can really help the Houston Rockets, who ranked 30th out of 30 teams in the NBA in three-point percentage.
Yeah.
Even just having a guy that can just stand outside the three-point line that the defense has to respect, just having the threat of him opens the floor up much more, especially when Amen Thompson's going to be playing, and that's a guy the defense are going to lay off.
Yeah,
it helps just give space to the young guys, make it an offensive environment that is easier for them to succeed. Now, when you're talking about other free agents, that was a little bit of Hubie Brownism. Now, when you talk about
that's how he always starts his sentences. Now,
when you're looking at the other free agents available, I feel like I've talked about this a lot, but Bruce Brown from the Denver Nuggets.
That'd be a big ad.
He can also, because he can run a little bit of the backup point guard. He can give you some point guard minutes. Obviously, he probably wouldn't start him there, but he also can guard the wings. He can guard he can guard up to probably most power forwards because he's more stout as a shorter guy. And then obviously all the winning stuff, all the leadership stuff. That's really what I'm kind of targeting is are you a stabilizing presence not only on the court with how you play, limiting the turnovers, and being able to present some sort of shooting threat, and also can you be a leader off the court?
RJ, who's your top free agent target? If not Bruce Brown, if not Brook Lopez, who are you most looking at?
This is interesting. You know, Jonathan Fagan came out with a tweet before we got on the show, and just a list of free agent names that he has out there. And I think the most interesting one to me, honestly, is Fred VanVleet, because we just don't know, you know, where he's going to go. I mean, is it something that he, you know, I want to get paid the most from somebody, or would he?
Are you willing to pay top of the market for him? I mean,
a championship level team, no. But I feel like Houston understands at this point that if we're going to bring in veteran free agents, we're going to have to overpay.
Bad team tax.
Yeah,
and. What you hope with Fred and for even Brook Lopez, anyone else that you're bringing in, you can the Rockets can afford to overpay these guys for 2 years. Like they just
short term contract when their contract runs up now,
because
then Jabari, then that's when
like what we've said so many times, there's so many young guys on this team. The guy who's making the most next year that's already on contract for the Rockets is Kevin Porter Jr. He's making almost $16 million,
and that's almost a fake contract because the Rockets can get out of it almost at any point.
Yeah. And then the second highest is Jalen Green at almost $10 million.
Yeah,
and so
there's a lot of salary cap flexibility on this roster with the young players.
And so, and another thing with Fred VanVleet that he brings, especially in the short term, this is another area that the Rockets were weakest at. They were second worst in turnovers per game among NBA teams, second only to the Warriors.
I feel
like
you could pick out most stats and the Rockets to be in the bottom three.
But this one's arguably the worst because the Warriors are first in turnovers last year. Rockets are second. They average both about 16 per game.
Yeah.
The Warriors are first in assists, so that just means they're passing the ball a bunch. The Rockets were last in assists. They had 22.
So the margin is.
They had 22 assists per game and 16 turnovers per game.
I just feel like this point guard position is going to be a position that is of the most importance, because I think you've tried it every which way else. After the Chris Paul era, I mean, you tried Russell Westbrook, John Wall. He brought in DJ Augustine a couple of times.
He was actually pretty good. He wasn't that bad.
He wasn't all that bad, but, you know.
Helped with the turnovers.
I think Ty Washington could be a serviceable point guard. I'm not saying starter level, but I do think he could be a quality point guard. But you're definitely going to need a point guard, as Sean just talked about, with assist-to-turnover ratio. That does feel a significant need. And if you can get a guy like Fred VanVleet there, which, again, just like you said, bad team tax, I think it'll definitely help guys like Jalen, and it'll definitely help guys like Cam Whitmore and things like that, just, you know, down the line, as far as getting the offense set and initiated and, you know, being able to run crisp plays instead of now you're working your way down to the shot clock and it's like whoever gets the ball, just shoot it. So,
yeah, and this, the limiting the turnovers and getting better at shooting, getting better at defense are very easy ways for the Rockets to increase their
significantly
win.
Better.
Yeah. Just that, because that is a lot. You're just trying to win more games this year. Yeah. The novel concept. Yeah. And targeting what you're the absolute worst at, and when you have the most free agent capital, to at least get mediocre at these things.
Yeah, if they could be middle of the pack in 3-point percentage and turnovers, it feels like their win total jumps
cutting,
10 games.
You're cutting
right
so
there.
Much fat, so many right. losses Absolutely. Turn into wins doing that.
Absolutely. So we'll get more into the Rockets at 11:15 when our man Joel Blank, at Pac-Man Joel from the Killer Bees, will join us at 11:15. So we'll talk Rockets then. But right now we got to get into these Houston Astros, who continue to find new ways to depress and disappoint us right now. Just, I don't even know what to say about the Astros, but we'll get into that next segment. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, myself, Brian McDonald, Josh behind the glass. It's the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now with more nougat.
You and Lance didn't f*** for a year.
That's just because he dabbed all the time.
This is The Bullpen, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Dropped the mics hot on me right as we were going back and forth. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. This is Brian McDonald at Sacked by BMAC on Twitter. Sean Mapes at Sean A. Mapes. RJ Saunders at R Has No J. And our man Josh behind the glass. I am Jay Chevy. Don't forget, Joel Blank coming up at 11:15 to continue the Rockets conversation with us. The next segment, the groundbreaking radio segment, Mount Rushmore Plus One, returns. I can't wait for that. I might have to lay out for Josh's Mount Rushmore Plus One, but we'll see how that goes. Right now, we're going to get into the Astros, who find new ways to lose, it feels like, on a daily basis. And we're going to get into some kind of long-term look with them in a moment. But, I mean, last night's game, guys, the Astros were up. I believe it was 7-3. Mm-hmm. Bullpen blows it. But, I mean, I feel like we're not even going to talk about Brian Abreu and whatever is happening with him recently, because the hell was that balk on Ryan Stanek? I mean, I assume you guys have both seen it. And I've seen people kind of make the case that, well, technically his leg did move and he did come set. I mean, you really want to get super ticky-tacky, but – I mean, he's basically he had a leg spasm,
yes.
And they're calling that a balk. I mean, I don't want to get into kind of like, oh, you can't call that, you know, foul now sort of conversation. But I mean, if we're calling that a balk, I mean, where is this? I don't know. Someone take this and tell me what to think about this, because I was livid last night watching that balk and what happened as a result of it.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep rewatching it on a loop, and it. That's
his leg twitches. It's like
it's a twitch.
His leg moves a little bit as he's getting off the rubber.
But it's not like the idea of the balk is you're not supposed to be able to fake out the batter, right?
Exactly.
It's not like he started a motion and then got a reaction from one of the base runners.
Exactly.
His leg just twitched. He never was making like a throwing motion.
Yeah, and the balk rule I mean, it's just it's up there with like the worst rules in baseball, yeah, as far really as like is. How it's like actually as executed, where it's like what is it? It's kind of like you know it when you see it, yeah. But it's not like that's so subjective that you get calls like this.
Yeah. It's just I couldn't. And credit to Ryan Stanek. If I ever run into Ryan Stanek at a bar, I will buy him a drink because the way he exploded after I love simultaneously. That he exploded at the umpire after he got the following out, but somehow he had all that rage inside him.
He kept that all for the final.
He was able to compose himself and get through the rest of the inning. It was incredible.
Professional.
Yeah, it just proves that all pitchers, and especially relief pitchers, are absolute psychopaths.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He had a murderous rage inside his body.
Phil Maton.
He kept it completely neutral, and the second he got the final out, he turned around and F-bombed. Was it Junior Rodriguez? Is that the name of the
I think
junior?
that was the
Who, by the way,
did you see his face?
Yes, I tweeted this out. He's most punchable face Hall of Fame. My God, that little smirk he has where he's
smug look.
His arm crossed.
trying to hold in a laugh.
It's just, holding a fart or something, man.
I thought he was trying to hold in, a laugh. That's what I thought. I didn't.
I immediately ejected Stanek and just walked away like a bee. It was just, man. I really hope the Astros put it on the Dodgers tonight because they've lost. They lost Friday night 3-2, then last night 8-7. Both nights, I mean, JP France and Ronel Blanco, obviously starting pitchers that you're a little questionable on about how much you're gonna be able to get out of them. Had a little bit of a rocky start. Blanco gave up 3 runs, I believe, in the first inning last night. Two home runs included in that, and then he settled down. And you look at his inning stat line. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, which obviously looked pretty bad in the first inning. But if you're telling me you're getting 6 innings, 3 earned runs from France and Blanco both, I mean, I'll take it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think at this point with the Astros, you're almost taking anything at this point. I mean, it's been such a tough season right now for the Houston Astros. And I do believe, this road trip is – before you get to the All-Star break here, it's just – you really need as
Thank
many
God
wins.
The Cardinals are coming up.
You really need Thank as God many wins up. As you can kind of stack up. Feel good about yourself going into the All-Star break. Maybe a couple trades happen, and then you're able just
They've made a couple trades, but for their guys I've never heard of.
For guys you never heard of. So, maybe some quality guys, some notable names. I'm not saying that they got to be top tier, but maybe second, third tier guys that can come in and that they can help immediately, for the second half push. Yeah, the Astros just kind of need everything.
They need a bounce back. Yeah. They need Hunter Brown to come out and outduel Tony Gonsolin tonight because that's a big-time pitching matchup.
Yeah, that loss last night was deflating.
If they do that, if they get the win tonight and they go and take care of business against the Cardinals, then I'll start to feel a little bit better. But looking kind of long-term, some of the updated win odds from Fangraphs has right now the Astros projected at 87 wins. Just for context, last year Tampa was the last playoff team in the American League with 86 wins. So that would be, at least upon last year's standard, good enough to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Considering all what we've talked about, the injuries, the bullpen explosions, finding out what balk rules are in 2023, if you were offered 87 wins right now, knowing that that's probably good enough for the last playoff spot, considering everything we've gone through this season, I'll start with you, Sean. Are you taking 87 wins if offered?
No.
You're still setting your aim.
We demand excellence.
Yeah. I feel like that's I don't know. That's very. Also with that's the last playoff spot. I don't want the last playoff spot.
You'd be in a play-in game against I think the Guardians at this point.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Not the Guardians. whoever the Twins, the AL Central leader.
Yeah. Okay. But.
You'd be expected to win that series.
But it still is an extra series where it's a best of 3, so you can lose that.
Yeah.
And then it's also messing with your pitching going forward the ALDS,
right.
The real playoffs. I still think, especially when you look at the Rangers are projected for 91 wins, that's a 4-win difference that I would take the chance on maybe,
2 games for them,
maybe
2 games
something
for
happens.
Us.
Yeah, something happens, and either the Astros look down at their chest and see, it says Astros on our jersey.
Yeah. It doesn't say Athletics.
Yeah. Oh, we're supposed to be awesome.
Oh, would you look at that?
You know what?
Duh.
My bad, Rafael Montero, my bad. My bad. I forgot I was on
okay.
the Astros.
You mentioned the name. Let's get into some quick Astro vibe checks before we get into our Mount Rushmore to start the next hour. So Rafael Montero didn't pitch last night, but he has an 8. I didn't stutter. 8 ERA for June. Yeah. And Montero ranks, are you ready for this, guys, 688th out of 701 eligible pitchers in win probability added by a pitcher. When is enough enough with Montero?
You bought him. Well, you paid him. You got to live with
it,
him.
You buy it?
You broke it, you buy it. I mean, you know. Yeah, goodness, man. I mean, you know, what was the first kind of reaction when we saw that he got paid? It was just kind of like, what?
Well, like, it's like, oh, he was good, but that's probably a little too much.
Yeah, so I think Sean and I had the conversation was you were paying them basically off of
one season.
I mean, essentially. So, I mean, you know, probably buyer's remorse at this point. But, I mean, you got to believe in them. I mean, you paid them all that money. What are you going to do, sit them? And unless there's a team out there that says, well,
no
take
one's trading for him. No one's trading
You know, unless there's a team out there. So now you got to keep them engaged because you paid them all that money. You have no choice as the Houston Astros.
I mean, you have the choice of, like, hey, you're only pitching.
Pitch the fifth inning.
Yeah, or when we're already down by, like, 5 runs.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Also, you said Montero ranks 688th out of
701, yeah.
I would like to know the 13 pitchers that are worse than him.
I did recognize a few of the names, but I don't have it in front of me, and maybe I can get that for you before the show's over.
I'm just intrigued of what disasters they must be.
I believe actually one of them is Alec Manoah of the Blue Jays, who's been absolutely horrendous this year as well. Quickly before we go to break, Dubon played first on both Wednesday and Friday. Thoughts on that move, Sean? I mean, obviously, Jose Abreu's kind of turned back into the pumpkin after he was briefly a prince or whatever the metaphor would be.
Frog?
I don't know.
Pumpkin's the chariot. Sure. The prince.
Something
is
like
the frog.
That. But anyway, he went from horrible to, hey, he's actually pretty good, and now he's horrible again. I mean, do you like the move of possibly seeing Dubon at first a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing to do. You know, it's
Astros.
We got to try whatever.
Yeah, it's a thing to do.
It is a thing to do.
Let's
this. It's a guy you can play there. You know, Yonier and Dubon and Jose Abreu. That's your first base rotation.
Yeah. I wish I had time to get into the Yonier versus Maldi like stack comparisons.
Oh, what side are you on?
Yeah, exactly. It's just staggering how big the gap is considering Dusty keeps wanting to play him. All right. Josh keeps telling us to get out to break. That's because he knows Mount Rushmore Plus One is up next. The groundbreaking segment returns. Josh will be involved in this. Don't know if I could comment on Josh's, but it'll be a lot of fun. We'll get into that and more. Don't forget Joel Blank coming up 11:15. If you have any comments you want to make upon what we talked about with the Rockets or the Astros, give us a call on the HRMP listener line. That's 713-780-3776. It's the Bullpen, ESPN Radio, 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter-patter.
Well, pitter-patter, let's get at her.